My name's John, I'm alcoholic.
John.
In fact, I'm the only one in this room looked like he ever drank. Usually this is a deed and honor with all the sobriety that's here. I'm more or less, I don't know if what I got is called sobriety, but I think it's called scared spitless drink again. You know, I was really a poop out. I didn't last very long. And because when I come in AA, everybody had drank for 40 years and stole locomotives and that kind of story. And they were what was called pure alcoholics. These people drank white lightning, booze, whatever. I was an impure alcoholic. Elixir, the rest of that is elixir of terpenhydrate codeine. And I drank a lot of cough medicine, you know. And I drank so much cough medicine, I actually haven't coughed for 50 years. That's, you know, I'll probably go into a coughing fit. God has a way of getting even with smart asses, you know. Yeah, so I'll take that back. And anyway, I've been celebrated 50 years. That's a big deal. I don't know why they didn't do anything for me on 49, but all of a sudden 50 years, you know. And so Keith Drum went and threw a party for me in Orange County, and it was more like a roast. It was a roast. And then L.A. County, Pomona, the Triangle Club, where I spent a lot of time there, they had a party for me. And then, of course, Chino went and pulled out all the stops because I'm from, I was from Chino, and then they made where I live called Chino Hills because we're about 50 feet higher in elevation than Chino. We now look down on the people in Chino, you know. But anyway, so a big blowout. People come in from all over and told me I had touched a lot of lives and all that, you know. But basically, let me tell you something. I'm an AA because I'm a sneaky rat that knows that if I drink again, I'm going to get toasted. And so I stay close to you people to be reminded, you know. These guys here, these guys are, I always usually start the convention if I get invited, which is rare. But when I do, I have the opening Friday nighter. And that's sort of like a warm-up guy for the heavyweights coming on. And that way, the people say, "Jesus, what was that all about?" And the person that took them would say, "It'll get better." So I'm the warm-up man, you know. I've had a lot of fun with you people. I tell you, alkies are weird, but I really love them, and they're different. You know, they're very different. I've seen the tragic things, too. One guy named Gene McCune called up Red Sims, his sponsor, and he had it with couldn't quit drinking, and told Red, he says, "I've got a gun, and I'm going to shoot myself through the brain." And Red says, "Gene, you'll never hit a target that small." And Gene McCune got so angry. He said, "Well, the first shot's going to be for you." You know. And then I've seen what was the guy that tried to commit suicide by putting his head in the oven and turned out it was an electric stove. But I've seen the tragic part too. We do a lot of laughing, but in the days that I got sober, there was no insurance for drunkenness, and we used to. I got put in a place called the Harmony House. It was an old house out in the middle of an orange grove. You know, this place looked like the Adams Mansion, and I come in there and they take your clothes, give you a bathrobe. This bathrobe would have fit Billy Barty. I mean, I was weighing like 300 pounds, and more of me was hanging out than was in, you know. And then we sat on these old couches, and we played, a big one was cribbage. And then also there was books about romance. No writing in them, but anyway, there was, so 10 days in a bathrobe, they give you your clothes back and make you a counselor. So I become a counselor. And I'm dealing with some really raunchy drunks, believe me. And some of them were in there because they're supposed to go to court for drunk driving and that, and they'd hide out in the Harmony House. And there was no harmony in that house. There was a lot of freaks in there, believe me. I said, leave the lights on. There's somebody coming into this room at night and... groping me, but anyway, I said, leave the lights on, please. But anyway, it was a real ball. And the guy that run the place could have run a prison camp in Nazi Germany. Just really rude and crude. And not sensitive. And one day I'm sitting there in a chair counseling somebody, and and this guy trying to borrow my turpentine, you know. And anyway, my mom comes, dear old mom comes, and she came, believe it or not, listen to this, she would come to the Harmony House and pick up my dirty clothes. And my mom, I don't know if she ever told anybody she ever loved him, but she did it by cooking for you and cleaning for you. And so she came and said, had some papers and said, these papers were delivered to my house because your wife, Florence, don't know where you're at. And I said, what do the papers say? She said, the papers say that you're being divorced. I said, being divorced? For what? She says, it says here, intemperance. Intemperance. I didn't even know what that meant. Of course, I've been drunker than a skunk every day in our marriage, or taking drugs. And I had a job. It was a snap. I'd go to work and I'd look at gauges, boiler, I run boilers. And all you gotta do is make sure that the water stays in the sight glass. And that's all I had to do, and I took booze with me. But a habitual intemperance. I never heard of anybody ever being divorced for that, but I was. I had a little girl, 3 years old. Well, wait a minute, you're gonna take my little girl from me. And they were gone. And I never raised that little girl. She's in the program now. And I've been, these guys here are my heroes. They've stayed married to the same woman. And I was on number three, and she just bailed. So she can't get rid of me, though. we're still together. But... she's not a happy camper with me, But anyway, we got, how many kids? She had two little boys. I got them raised, but I always come back to booze. And my last drink was something called Pride of Cucamonga. And I'd go down to the liquor store and line up with the rest of the bums and some Jay's liquor store. Sometimes he wouldn't open up until 5 after 6. That's not right. And I'd be looking in the window, and he's counting the money. Not my money, I was on credit. But anyway, and I end up stiffing him anyhow. But anyway, and then I'd walk in there and with the rest of the bums, and I'd say, Jay, could you recommend a wine that would go with lasagna? I hadn't eaten for 30 days. And he would say, well, John, a light vin rosé. And all the time I'm digging in this damn sales bin. They had stuff they couldn't sell, and they'd throw it into a big bin. And apricot brandy, all that stuff to tear your buns off. But anyway, I down in there was my favorite. And it was called Pride of Cucamonga. And and a guy told me, I come from an area where we have a lot of wine connoisseurs. And a guy told me, he said, hey, you know that crap you're drinking, never seen a grape. He said, they get down to the last press, the fifth press, and all that's left is seeds, stems, skins, and maybe a couple of rodents that fell into it. And they press it one more time. And then they zing it with ether, which is alcohol, to get the, it's got to read 20% by volume. That's why I'm wearing glasses now, is reading that fine print. I did not want to get anything that was 12%. So 20% by volume. Nifty drink caused my lips to peel. That's the only thing. And I used to wet my pants a lot. So I was wondering why I couldn't get a date. Anyway, when the AAs finally got a hold of me, good people, Deke Ken and Kenny Hamilton, took me into their family, and I know I went over one day. I was sober a year, and I went over to pick up my little girl. I got her every Sunday. And there was a sign on the door. I've gotten married again, and the Darlene is with my mother. And so I was crushed, and I said, yeah, to hell with this AA stuff and all that. I'm going to go out and get sloshed, you know. But I went over to my sponsor. His name was Kenny Hamilton. He was a Wheat Dakota wheat farmer that had drank up the farm and ended up in California. And went over to Kenny, and I said, Kenny, can I talk to you? And he said, shh, be quiet, the Dodgers are on. Just sit there and watch the game. And I said, well, I got something I want to share with you. He said, after the game's over with. And so I watched the game, and I talked to Kenny afterwards. And he didn't have any pearls of wisdom, but you know what? I didn't want to drink anymore. Isn't that funny, the magic that we have? Just with another alcoholic, you know, there's a certain something going on, maybe identification. You know, the other guy went through the meat grinder. And anyway, I'm about to wrap this thing up. I got on the 50-year birthday, I got a card, really a professional-looking card. And I read it, and I think it come from Dog on the Roof, guys. There's no respect coming from them at all. And it said, congratulations on 50 years of undetected drinking. And you know, I know it was a dog on the roof. You know, and then, I've had a beautiful trip with you people. And I know you carry me. You know, when you get my age and everything, I got a lot of people that carry me. Spiritually, physically, any way you want to talk. I stay close to you. I got to hear you. Got to see you. And I'm going to make it, you know. I'll make it today. I got A's watching me like a hawk. And Jay's Liquor Store sold to a Chinaman, so I'm not going to mess with him anymore. Boycott. And anyway, I've had a lot of fun with you people. But like I say, I usually do the warm-up on Friday night. And then everybody says, it's going to get better. We got some real speakers coming up. And, you know, they get rid of that clown. But I go to meetings, go to the men's stag, and a bunch of losers in there. And but we stay sober. And I answer the phone. I do very little for AA. When you stop and think about it, I do very little. Some of you men are really done service, great service. I answer the phone on Thursday night. I have Thursday night until the morning. Well, I couldn't sleep. I knew even after I died I'd be wide awake for 2 weeks. I could not sleep. And I'm always studying in the medicine cabinet, you know. And I goes and I told the guy, I said, I don't want nighttime. Hey, I've got to go to work in the morning. I can't be up all night answering the phone. And he says, that's the only spot we got open. Are you going to be a service or what? I said, okay, I'll take it. But you know what? Find somebody else meanwhile. I'll fill in for a while. And I don't get that many calls anymore because of the Harmony houses, but they're more modern now, and they feed you and everything. And I got a guy that actually keeps a list of, it's like a 5-star, 3-star, 4-star. He actually keeps who's got the best food, you know. But anyway, the calls I get, and you know, if you're the second chapter is about the only one that I really hang up on. I read a little bit of it every morning. The second chapter says a solution. They're spelling it out. There is a solution for a screwball like me. And the solution is stay close. So I was a merchant seaman for 5-6 years, and I never was on a ship that sunk, although it could have been. I was down in the engine room tending boilers, and it used to scare me when I sobered up thinking about it. But anyway, stay in the lifeboat. There's a lifeboat. AA is a lifeboat. And if somebody reaches for you, you're tired of swimming, grab onto them, get in the boat. You won't understand what the hell they're talking about. And when you get in the boat, don't try to become captain. There's a whole bunch in there already think they're captain, you know. And just get in there. And I used to say, grab an oar. And old Ralph, he couldn't hear good. He said, where is she? And I said, wait a minute. I used to tell Ralph, knock it off, you know. But anyway, but stay close to the edge where you can reach for somebody else. And that's what AA was for me. Someone reached for me. I was tired of swimming. And they got me in the boat, and I stayed in the boat. So the calls I get are people wanting directions, people calling for other alcoholics, my husband, you know, my boyfriend, whatever. I got one guy that wants me to go to the sheriff's office and help him get his guns back. He calls once a month on a full moon night. And I tell him, hey, you know what? You try to commit suicide. That's a 51-50. You're not going to get your guns back. I tell you, sheriffs are gun collectors. They're not going to give you your gun back. All them sheriffs have a ton of guns, but I tell you. And so he only calls once a month, though. And then I had a woman call and fell in love with me over the phone. And it was really going hot and heavy, you know. And I told her I was in my 70s, but she never slowed down. And I said, ma'am, you're going to have to go to a meeting, AA meeting, and you're going to have to find a sponsor. She says, I cannot relate with women. I said, I can't either. But I said, I got to stay sober. You know, this stuff was killing me. But anyway, that I don't get that many calls, mostly directions, how to get here, get there. And I love you people. It's my family. You people are my family. And I got guys now, I guess because I'm an old geezer, I got these younger guys coming along with Keith Drum and his crew. They've been carrying me, and it's really satisfying. I mean, if I had sons, I got sons, but stepsons, and they do what they can. But the AAs are always there, give me a helping hand. And anyway, Jim, thank you. This has been great. I love you. And Jim even laughed, you know, and he's heard me so many times. But anyway, come on, take over, buddy. And I love you, people. Thank you.